How do you sum up a day like today? I'm curious as to what you heard from the guys. I mean, there was so much to feel good about this year and so much to feel positive about this year, yet you also want to balance that with, hey, not acceptable. We wanted to make the playoffs, so this isn't good enough. I asked the same question to Husk. Like, what is that balance like for you?
It's tough because I watch these guys day in and day out practice from the start of training camp, where people said we weren't going to, you know, we're going to be picking bottom three. This team can't do it. And to watch them kind of rally around each other right from day one all the way through, and then to get to 20 seconds away from at least having another chance. Like, it's I'm heartbroken for them because I know how hard it is when you're a player. And to get all that way and then not make it just doesn't seem fair. But, hey, you know what? Hats off to those other two teams. They played unbelievable down the stretch. And, you know, it's just you can take away all the positives, but it's still not the goal we wanted, which is make the playoffs.
You exceed expectations externally. Did the team exceed internal expectations for you as well? Like, were you expecting to be in it right until game 81 like you were here?
To be honest, Pat, you know, the one thing, we had two goalies that played less than 100 games, started 100 games in the NHL.
Yeah.
I don't know how that – you're hoping it's going to go one way. You're hoping it went exactly the way it went. You had a lot of young guys. You know, we had so many things going on. You know, Kevin Ball coming in. We're hoping he's going to come in and fill a role, and he did, and Joel Hanley, and, you know, Beaner, and you just have so many guys coming, new, Lomberg coming in, bringing that excitement, bringing, just winning the cup, and then you got a great core of veterans. So you're hoping you're playing meaningful hockey, like we said, all the way down the stretch.
Yeah.
Did I know it was going to come down to game, you know, 81? No, I didn't. But I was hoping, you know, you're hoping to, your goal is to make the playoffs, and that's what it's all about, because you gotta have an attitude. Winning is the only thing that matters. I mean, kids out there, winning isn't everything, but when you're in professional sports, winning is everything.
Feels like we've been asking you all year about, you know, the plan, and you've been reiterating throughout the year, no, our plan is set. Like, we got a 3 to 5 year plan here, and yeah, we had, maybe we did get to where we want to be a little bit quicker, but that same message, hey, plan is the plan. You're not off the tracks. It's the plan is the same now as it was 6-7 months ago, right?
Yes, exactly. We're going to continue to get younger, continue get young players in. You know, I don't think you can put 10 young guys in at once, but I think we've been sprinkling guys in, and they've been doing really well as they come in, and they're getting better, and, you know, we're going to continue to do that. And if we can make a trade, or we can do something to make this team better, we're going to try. If it's free agent, the right free agent, we'll pay. We're not going to pay for I guess if we did a list of 1 to 10, we're not going to take 10 because he's on our list.
Right.
We want the right guy that fits what we're trying to do, and it's about building the culture, and really the guys have built an unbelievable culture down there, and it's a leadership group. It's, I can't say enough about what they've done, you know, and the coaching staff, and it's just it was a good group to be around, and I know there's going to be some changes, but it was definitely fun to watch them. But we didn't reach our goal. Now we got to try to get better, and how that is, I can't tell you exactly today, but it is to continue to get younger, continue to get young guys in the lineup, and you know, if we can add something, make some trades or free agency, we'll look at it all.
But I safe to say that, yeah, you'll have more than $34 million to play with in free agency, or I mean, you've got some contracts to be signed, and some extensions and that type of stuff, but that cap space isn't burning a hole in your pocket. It's not like, oh, I got to spend this. You're fine if you have lots of cap space next season too, aren't you?
Absolutely. Well, and that's the thing. The one thing, I guess, I don't know if people know or people don't know, like, they're like, well, you have so much cap space. Well, yeah, but I'm not just going to spend it to spend it. We're a cap team. I've never been here since I've been on this side of the, you know, business. When I went from player to management, we've always been able to spend to the cap. Ownership gives us that. You're a cap team. Spend it the way you want it. we just want to have success, you know? So it's not like we can't spend it. People are like, wait, Murray Edwards said you can't. That's not the way it works, guys. We can do, you know, it gets frustrating at times because they have never told me you can't spend the money. But I want to spend it on the right guys and make sure we do it the proper way. And then, you know, hopefully one day we will be a cap team where we're spending all the money and we're winning Stanley Cups and in the playoffs every year. That's the goal.
It's Craig Conroy, general manager of the Flames. I guess we got to talk about Rasmus Anderson. It's the number one topic on this day, what that future looks like. I know you were asked, like, does it have to be done this summer? What is the process now as you figure out what the best path to go down with Rasmus is?
Well, I mean, from our side, what's a contract look like? What do we feel comfortable with? What is makes sense to us? How do we make this work moving forward? And then from his side, what does he want to do? Does he want to be here, which he says he didn't, and he told me he wants to be here. But again, there's a lot of moving parts in that.
Right.
And we both have to kind of agree on, yep, this is what it looks like, and this makes sense for both of us, and then we move forward. Again, we didn't talk about anything today, to be totally honest. It's kind of the one thing about Rasmus, what he says to me in private is what he says in the media. So, you know, he says, hey, I want to go to the World Championships. I want to talk to my family. I want to take a deep breath and think about this. And we have to respect that. And we really can't talk to him till July 1st anyway.
Right.
So, you know, but we'll get all our ducks in a row and comps and see where we're at, length of contracts. And then, you know, when we sit down and talk, see if it works for both sides. But Ras, understand, it's a business, you know. Same thing for me. I always knew, you know, we'd love to – everybody has an idea what they're worth and how long they want, and then the team has a different opinion usually. So we'll have to see if it works out for both sides.
What did you learn from 2 years ago, that first summer that you were on the job with all of those expiring contracts? What can you take from that? I guess that ended up being like 6 or 7 months until they were all figured out. But what did you learn from dealing with Hanifin and Zadorov and Lindholm and all of that that you can take into this process with Rasmus?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just be patient, just to be patient and really have that dialogue and really make sure lay all our cards on the table on both sides, know what they want. And then, you know, then you have to make some hard decisions. And then from there, if it's a sign, you sign. If not, then we got to get the best deal we can for Ras out there. But I guess the goal would be to get him signed and get him back here and get him on a deal that everybody's happy with. But you know, it didn't work with those guys. And
yep.
I don't know how it's going to work with Ras, because we, you know, he made it very clear. He just wants to go and do what he's doing, and then we'll figure it out a little bit later. So, you know, there's no rush right now. We have him for another year. You know, I know at times he had a great start. He wasn't happy with a lot of his year, and he said as much in the meeting. You know, he's got more to give, but I give him credit. Like, with what he played with down the stretch in those meaningful games, and he did – you know, he was a big reason why we were right there at the end.
Craig, how do you evaluate Morgan Frost and Joel Farabee in a year like this, where they come over? You know, it's got to be tough. Both guys talked about how tough it is midseason to get traded like that, and, you know, sort of balance what you saw from them and then maybe knowing what they might look like in the fall when they're a little more comfortable.
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing we talked about, they put a lot of pressure on themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, they come in, I get it, though. They get traded to a Canadian market. Expectations are high. They want to do so well, you know, and I think they made a lot of good plays. They did a lot of good things. The points didn't come the way we'd like. Obviously, we'd all like to have more points from them, but the one thing, they created chances. They did some things, and it's funny when you're kind of talking to the guys in the team, they really fit in well with the team. That's part of it. The culture that we're trying to bring into this team, those guys fit in right away. They said they were like drivers in that locker room to be young guys to come in and do that from another team, how well they fit in. And, you know, that's what I told them. I said, hey, we need a big summer. You see what the travel's like out in the West now. You know how good these teams are in the West. I mean, They're big, they're strong, they're fast. We have to have a great summer from you guys. And we believe in you. We brought you in because we do think as we move forward, you're going to be a big part of this. So we need them to kind of get back to where their production was when they were in Philly. But it's going to take a big summer.
I want to go back to just something you said on Dustin there and that unknown about walking into the season with Dan and Dustin. You obviously have high hopes for both of the guys. And then, but you're right, you really don't know what it's going to look like for both of them to come in and do that. For Dustin, you know, going back to your years as a player and now even as an executive, how rare is it to see a guy like that who can come into the league and take that challenge of a number one? You know, he's played in these huge, meaningful games for you guys down the stretch. It doesn't even look like he's sweating. It's got to be such a rare, and it's such a positive for you guys to see that right away.
It really is. I mean, his preparation and the way he goes about his business and from the preseason to the thing, everything is the same. Yeah. You know, his demeanor, you don't find many goalies game day. He can talk to the media. He's very cool, like especially in the morning. I can talk to him. You know, come game time, he's got his own routine. Just leave him alone. Let him do it. But to have a young guy come in and play as well as he did in those high pressure, again, we did not score a lot of goals. Yeah. So every game was a one-goal game. It felt like and the margin of error was so small. But him and Dan both rose to the challenge most nights. You're like, and I think it's promising. It's like when Kipper came, I had no clue who Kiprusoff was. And then to watch him in the first practice, I thought, this guy's not bad. And then to watch him in the game, I'm like, wow, okay, here we go. You know, and I feel the same. You're waiting to see what it is because as you go into the season, you got to see him in junior. Unbelievable. Okay, American League, MVP of the league, best goalie 2 years in a row. Is it going to translate? How's it going to work? These are NHL shooters, and he just continued to get better and feel more comfortable. I mean, there was some games I was like, ooh, that wasn't very good, but yeah, that's everybody. I mean, that's all players. Yeah. But overall, I was very happy with, you know, 90% of his games.
I wanted to ask you about Jonathan Huberto because, you know, we've probably talked about him a lot in these spots the last couple of years out and maybe less talking about him today, but probably for a good reason. And I don't want to say he necessarily reinvented himself, but he found different ways to contribute to your team than simply in the points column. How encouraging is that for you guys as an organization to see a guy willing to change what we know about him to fit whatever's best for the team?
You know what? It's amazing because he said, you know, I think I give him so much credit because it's not easy to do what he did. He's going from a guy that is strictly offensive in probably in his mind, you know, 115 yeah. points to come in and, hey, the points haven't been coming, but I'm going to kill penalties. His one-on-one battles this year, so much better. Like, I mean, he would get in there. He's physical, going to the net, scoring those greasy goals. I mean, he's shooting the puck much more too, but you know, it's just, it's fun to watch him and his penalty kill. I thought he was excellent on the penalty kill. You know, I think, and that gave him some pride. And just off the ice, he's a true, you know, I think all the young guys really rally around him and he treats these guys like gold, you know, and I think that's a special thing that people don't see, you know, whether it was Pelche and Matty Coronado with him or now it's all the other guys. He's just a really good person and he cares and he wants to be the best. And for sure, he'd love to have 115 points, but he wants us to win more than anything. And if it's to block a shot, to do something, you know, maybe that wasn't in his game all the time. Mm-hmm. He's done a great job. Everything the coaches asked for, he's done.
We talked a lot about Zane, obviously, heading into that last game, and I asked Huska about this as well. It's got to be encouraging to see Hunter and Sam, guys who have taken that first step into pro hockey this last year with the Wranglers, also make that step up. I know Hus talked about there's little things you can see, you know, that they've been playing pro hockey for a year, and they were very deserving of that opportunity too.
They were, you know. The one thing, there were so many guys in the Wranglers I would love to have gotten up at the end.
Call-up rule, right?
Yeah, it's one of the things at the GM meetings we always, why do we have the call, you know, the four call-ups? But I get it. You know, you have rules and we have to live by them. But there was a bunch of guys that I would have loved to give an opportunity to. So with that said, but with Sam, you know, and Hunter, they just came in and they've been playing really well down the stretch. And even in that game, you saw all the good little things. Hunter made a great play off the faceoff and he almost hit him back. You know, there was one little pass and he would have had a tap in back door. I think it was Farabee. But it's exciting to see those guys and to come in and to know they did not look out of place. They looked like they fit in, you know. Sam just works. Three hits in the first period. I'm like winning faceoffs and then scoring a goal. It was pretty special, and to see his family kind of there going crazy.
Yeah.
I loved it. You know, it was, those are the things, as disappointing as it was that we're out of the playoffs, to know those guys are coming up, and the way the guys rallied around. You know, they could have been sulking and
for sure,
and pissed off in the room, but they wanted to make that experience great for the guys, and you know, that's what makes this team special.
Craig Conroy's with us. What went into the Zane Parekh conversation about what comes next? He could go play in the American League. He made his NHL debut on Thursday, but he's also played a boatload of hockey over the last couple of years. Kind of what was the conversation like in you deciding that you're not going to send Zane to the American League to finish the year?
You know, I think a little bit that's what it was there's a lot of hockey. We want to make a long playoff run down there, but we want to get him, you know, where he's going and getting ready for next season. I mean, the goal for the Calgary Flames is for him to be in the best shape possible to come to camp and make that team. So we think, because he didn't get to do a lot of that last year, he went to Canada's camp and he got hurt. So even after that, he wasn't able to train a lot. So this year we want to get him back training and get him ready for the season. And that's the main goal.
I don't want to, like, I know there's only so much you can say about pending UFAs, but I did want to ask about Dan and especially the second half of his season. He was a really big part of this group staying in the playoff race, and you know, there's just it seems like there's a really good fit with him and Dustin. I know that it's not all about you and you don't make the final decision, but how much from a team side of things would you like to have Dan remain in the fold with this group?
Yeah, we would love to have Dan back. You know, I think that's, you know, we've seen him over the years. He always plays. He gives us a chance to win every night, and that's all you can ask for. I mean, there's going to be ups and down games, but especially when maybe he's not playing as many as he would like, where you're getting a rhythm. To come and do what he did, 6-1-1 down the stretch. I think he was in around .930 save percentage.
Yeah.
Very, you know, at the biggest time of the year. I mean, he came through, and he's a great person, and he's great in the room. And him and Wolfie, you could see those two kind of grow as we went down. You know, probably, hey, they were into competition at the beginning, and
that's
they
right.
really were. And you could tell they both were a little bit off, you know, not off, but they both wanted to be the guy. And then I think it was even when they were both still splitting, they started to figure out, okay, hey, we're a tandem here. Let's go. And I thought they were really good together down the stretch. And Vladdy's a true pro, you know. So we'll see where it goes with Vladdy. But, yeah, we would like to have him back.
Okay. You've got the two first-round picks in this year's draft. Well, like, I know that you're always looking to pick the best player, but how much would you like at least one of those guys to be a center iceman? Like, how much of a priority is that with the first round picks this year?
You know, definitely has been a priority for us for sure. You know, if there's a huge difference and we thought there was just a massive upgrade between one or another guy, we probably would, you know, we're going to go with if it's that big a difference. But
right.
if it's very close, you know, and might be a situation where we try to move up if we see a guy we like and he's still available, you know, somewhere we feel like we can move up to, we would do that too. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, you never want to go in just kind of so locked in on a center, but that is a position we haven't really drafted much in the last few years. So, you know, it's a priority for our guys. We're really keying in on all the centers available, and we'll see how the draft goes. But I do think it's a draft where, you know, say we get to 10 to 32, it's we can find really good players in there. We really can. It's just a matter of digging in and making sure we get the right guy.
I know that there's been a lot made. You know this more than anybody, but a lot made about the future of the pick. Like, do you send your pick to Montreal, or is it Florida's pick? You take a look at the overall standings, and playoffs still come into it. But, like, your pick, Florida's pick, and New Jersey's pick are, like, all within a few. Like, it ends up being one that maybe it's not as big a deal when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, I think the New Jersey pick's two away from us, and then the Florida's a few after that. Like, in the end, like I said, I think it's where we're going to pick. It's one of those years where I don't think there's an order how it's going to go. It's going to be what – maybe what people need and what, hey, we need a defenseman, we need a goalie, we want to, you never know how it's going to go, so we just want to be ready because we do feel like we can find some good players in that first round, you know, and even later in the draft. We're always looking for those guys, the Johnny Gaudreaus, you know, Dustin Wolf is a seventh rounder, like, we're trying to stay dialed in, mm-hmm. but, you know, I do think it's one of those drafts where I think you can find some really good players kind of as we move out of that top 10.
Craig, I know you were asked about Ryan's contract situation there, so I'm not going to dive into that, but I'm just curious from your perspective working with him this season and what you saw from the coaching staff as a whole and how much they contributed to your success.
Oh, I think they've done an amazing job. I mean, I think if you ask all the players, just the attention to detail, the pre-scouts, the everything they do, you don't walk out of meetings not clear on things, you know, and I think that's, as a player, you just want to know, what am I supposed to do and what is my, and they do an excellent job, the whole staff. I mean, Ryan's attention to detail is excellent. You know, I don't even know what to say. If you can see him day in and day out, work ethic, he's always trying to get better. And I do think this year, especially with the whole staff, but I just feel like he felt more comfortable this year, year two. Okay. And I can't wait to see year three. I mean, because love his interviews. I love the way he kind of, you know, he's got an edge though, guys. He does have an edge in the room. We don't see it on the bench, which I like, you know, he keeps it internal, but, you know, he challenges those guys and pushes them, but he's done a really good job, and I think we're going to see that improve even next year.
Just sort of rounding out, as we talk about some of the options you have in the offseason, you talked about money and that stuff being available. Salary retention still an option maybe for a third-party sort of organization move is something you'd be interested in the summer if it worked?
Yeah, we got to keep everything open.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to keep everything out there, and, you know, no one's going to help us, and we can't help anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, we're all in competition. I mean, we're 1 point out of the playoffs here, and it leaves a sour taste in your mouth. So anything we can do to get an edge, we're going to try to do, mm-hmm. you know, and obviously you're not going to make friends doing that way, but
yeah.
This is pro sports. You don't make friends here.
And I guess just, I know Carter King and Simon Mack got in their first Wranglers game. Happy about, you know, bringing guys like that in the organization and your scouting ability to look for those kind of guys.
Yeah. We always talk about bringing in quality individuals, and both those guys were targeted by our, you know, our college scouts. So to get them both in, it was exciting. I thought they played really well the first
yeah.
game, not the outcome we wanted, but you know, there's always those nerves and to get them in, to get them playing, and we'll see how they do tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
Last one, and to kind of wrap it all up back to where we started, you know, you just, I know you got a few more interviews still to do with guys, but like with the balance of, hey, a lot was accomplished this year and an identity and a culture was set, all those types of things, but you fell short and you wanted to be a playoff team. Did you like what you heard from the guys in the exit interviews, and that, you know, that their heads in the right place going into the offseason and going into next year? How satisfied were you with the conversations?
It's amazing. As much as the disappointment was there, the excitement about what's coming was even more. So for me, you know, usually these are terrible days and they're not good. And you know, I guess if you could sit in those meetings, and I've heard them year after year, the hope and belief, and that's why we got to keep our foot in the gas. We can't just be happy with what we did. We got to be, okay, not good enough. Let's go. You know, but the meetings were to hear them talk about each other. And even let me just give you an example, I guess. You know, you talk about players that maybe didn't play as much as they would like, but they said, I played with I probably earned what I got, you know, so they weren't upset about, you know, I get it. I understand why I played this much. Next year, I want to earn more. And I know with this coaching staff, if I play the right way, I will get more. And I want to do more. I want to be a bigger part of it. So I do think, you know, those are the things that you are promising. They're not mad at whoever. You know, everybody was, it was a surprisingly positive, but disappointing too, because they know we did not get.
Yeah.
They would have loved to have had an opportunity to play if we got to play a Vegas or Winnipeg. I mean, that
yep.
was the goal. And spend that much time and that much effort and then not make it, it's heartbreaking. But, you know, they're saying, hey, we're going to take a few days off here and we're going to get back at it. So that's their mindset, which is great.
Do you watch playoff hockey right away, or do you wait a little bit?
Oh no, I watch.
Okay,
yeah. Oh, I'm watching.
Some guys are like, it hurts. Well, too
as
much,
a player, I didn't watch.
Okay,
as a player, I didn't watch. I'm watching guys. Okay, who can elevate?
Yeah.
Which guy that maybe we didn't know he had a good year? Can he elevate? Or can he elevate?
Well, yeah. Husk was saying you always, you know, you're taking stuff from those teams, right? You take your cues from the best in the league, right? So those are those teams.
Yeah, I mean, when Husk came in, he, you know, a lot of the stuff that he brought to the table was from Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, as well as Vegas. And I thought it makes a lot of sense the way he wanted to do things, you know, and then he'd steal from other teams. That's what we do. I mean,
yeah.
This is a league.
Yeah, yeah.
What works, what doesn't work, you know, and then you try to, it's a little bit of a copycat league, and, you know, we're all trying to do the same thing as get in there and then win a Stanley Cup.
Yep. Thank you, Connie. Appreciate the time. Have a good off season, hey?
Yeah, I wish we weren't talking like that, but thanks. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you very much. Thanks. You have a great summer.
You too, yeah. Great. Thanks very much.
I'm sure we'll talk a few times.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got a few things. The draft. I do get excited for the draft, yeah. I will say.
You can't get rid of me that easy. Thanks, Connie.